Hello and welcome to episode 120 of UFO Encounters Worldwide. This is your host, Jesse Peek, MUFON State Section Director in the state of Pennsylvania, city of Philadelphia. Today we are welcoming special guest, longtime researcher and author Mary Rodwell. Mary is the founder and principal of ACERN, the Australia Close Encounter Resource Network, and she is the author of two books, The Awakening, How Extraterrestrial Contact Can Transform Your Life, and The New Human, Awakening of Our Cosmic Heritage. Mary has been involved in many, many other aspects of the phenomenon and research, which we'll be touching on all those different topics today. She's doing some amazing work over in Australia, trying to get them up to speed on the field of ufology. So we have a lot of information to go over today. So as we always like to say, strap on them seatbelts, we're going for a ride. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 120. Today we're having our special guest, Mary Rodwell. Mary, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jesse. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. I've been looking forward to having this conversation with you. It's good to finally have a researcher from Australia to come on and share what's going on over there. And the work you're doing is absolutely amazing with experiencers and contactees. So I'm looking forward to today's conversation. So I appreciate you coming on.
You're most welcome.
So I guess let's start from the very beginning about how you got involved into this field. Was it an interest or was it a sighting or what exactly got you involved with it?
Well, it's my background doesn't suggest that I would ever get into this because I was a nurse and a midwife a long time ago and went into counseling, you know, in a medical practice. It was really the counseling that drew me into, you know, people's experiences when I came and migrated to Australia in 1991. I stayed with the counseling rather than going back into nursing. And what I was working with was, you know, grief and bereavement, people having experiences that were not part of the norm, if you know what I mean. They would sometimes see, you know, people that they'd lost or passed on and this kind of thing. So I got very interested in the more spiritual side of people's journeys. Having said that, you know, working as I trained as a hypnotherapist and ultimately went into private practice. And it was there that more and more I was getting what I would call less conventional kinds of human experiences. And one of them was a gentleman that came to see me. He said, "I've heard you're open-minded for this." He said, "There are no support groups for this. People just think you're a loony." And proceeded to tell me about his experiences where he'd wake up with shaved areas on his body, his going up on spacecraft, his partner having experiences, the children having experiences. And people, you know, the relatives didn't want to come to the house because they thought it was demons. So that was my introduction to the whole contact phenomena. Fortunately, I'd read, because of my interest in anything weird and wonderful, I've always been interested in the unusual. I'd read two books that prepared me in a way to hear what he was saying and that certainly respect it was Dr. John Mack's book, Abduction, Human Encounters with Aliens.
Yes.
And his fact that he, you know, he was a Harvard professor of psychiatry, very, very credible, had researched this, done the psychological testing and had no doubts it was real. And also Communion by Whitley Strieber. So I fortunately read those just prior to Ellis, who's my now a dear friend of mine, believe it or not, although I blame him for all of this and tease him about it, was really the start of my journey. And quite honestly, now it's, you know, 3,500 people later, families and children all over the globe. It's not, you know, it's no longer where I thought it was quite rare. What I've discovered is it's actually extremely common for people to have these kinds of experiences, even if the average person in the street doesn't realize that.
So where did the next step go? Because I know we hear that Australia is not really open-minded to the whole UFO phenomenon as much as other countries. So where did the next step go from that point where you were working with clients like that to move on to the next step to where you became an author and then started ACERN? Where did that next step take place?
Well, what was interesting was I did think it was very rare to start with, you know, but within 2 weeks of this gentleman coming to see me, another lady walked in the door who had, you know, the same kinds of experiences. So I'm starting to think now, hold on a minute, maybe it's not as rare as I thought it was. I teamed up with a social worker that had had experiences, and we started the first, what we called then the abduction support group in Perth, Western Australia. 12 people turned up, the very first one that we held, which amazed us because it really made it pretty clear that there was more going on here than we thought. From that, doing little interviews to start with, and then teaming up with other UFO groups around Australia, and obviously, you know, there'd be little conferences where you would, you know, put out information about what you were doing. And gradually, you know, you get known as someone who supports. But the thing that I started, because I knew that there was something very important here, was to create a place where people could come and be safe. And I created ACERN, the Australian Close Encounter Resource Network, to offer professional counselling and support to people that have had these experiences, because many of them, as you well know as well, Jesse, don't know who to go to. They don't feel always very comfortable going to traditional psychological outlets like, you know, psychologists and certainly psychiatrists, because, you know, although they may be questioning their sanity, at the same time, they're not sure that they are insane, because there are certain things that actually go on that are very real and very tangible, even if though you can't prove it in the same way. And so very reluctant to go to those kind of sources, and understandably so, because so many, I think, have been medicated or seen as mentally ill. So, you know, there's a great reluctance to go and source this. So I wanted to provide something that was credible, that was professional, that could support those that were having these experiences. And that was the beginning of ACERN in 1997. So that started another, you know, opening up a door, if you like. And ultimately, for me, it was, where do people go? Where do they get help? And then I wrote the book Awakening, which is a resource book more than anything, which answers the questions. How do I know this is real? Am I going crazy? What do I do about the fear? What if it's happening to my kids, missing pregnancies, implants, all those kind of things that people want to know about, because there's not, you know, the, you know, a resource that is out there that they know they can go to safely. This was a way of helping people through that process. But what astounded me is the more that I talked about this, the more I was hearing more and more families, as well as just single people, that were having these kinds of experiences. And it was a broad spectrum, Jesse, you know, from, you know, those that were really not sure whether they were crazy or not, to those that felt that they were very connected to these intelligences that they were interacting with, and not in the least afraid. So you've got the whole spectrum of absolute fear and terror, to those that said, well, actually, I've known this all my life, and it's what, you know, it's my reality, and I'm okay with it. It's just very hard because nobody believes you, you know, and people just think there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, and I like that you touched on that the over medication, the people being put away into mental institutions, when really they're not really helping the overall issue, which is the abduction phenomenon, the experience that these people are having, and not really being open to even hearing what they have to say. That ridicule was extremely strong, and it still is today.
It is. And, you know, in my book Awakening, I wrote a case study of a young girl in Perth who first phoned me and said, I think I'm having these experiences, she said. And she said, unfortunately, when I was 14, I told the doctor that I was seeing aliens, and he told me that I was mentally ill and put me on all this medication, she said. And I nearly took my life several times because I was so depressed. And she said it was a talk show, an American talk show, believe it or not, where people were talking about these experiences, when I realized maybe, just maybe, this is real after all, and I'm not crazy. And it was a profound awakening for her to realize that she wasn't alone, that were people out there. And this is, you know, the trouble with the truth embargo, when everybody says, you know, when are the government's going to come out and admit this is real and all the rest of it? And so far, all they've done is talk about bright lights and say we don't know where they come from.
Right.
What the biggest damage, as far as I'm concerned, Jesse, is the fact that have been millions, potentially billions of people that have had experiences that think they're crazy or there's something wrong with them because of that truth embargo. And that damage to me is, you know, is an outrage.
Absolutely.
Absolute outrage.
I agree. And when you know, they've done these hearings, and of course, that's a good step in the right direction, but they don't really go back before the 2000s, and they don't get involved in the experience or phenomenon, or all the people that they hushed up, or the people they put away in mental institutions. And they don't address that correctly at all. And like you said, that is a very scary thing to think about, all the people that haven't had that clarity, that haven't had someone to talk to about this, that are still sitting in an institution or over medicated, not helping the overall issue.
I think that also, you know, many people joined UFO groups to get support and to get help. But the earlier groups particularly were not so keen to hear about the, you know, with the abduction stories or the encounter stories, because again, it was very hard to quantify, and they are quite happy with videos of UFOs and what did you see, what time and all the rest of it, but very reluctant to hear about, well, this is actually my experience and what have you, because there were very few people there that felt they could offer support, hadn't got the therapeutic skills and didn't know what to do with it. And what I've discovered as well, Jesse, is, you know, in the nuts and bolts side of it, I understand it has to be, for a lot of people to be credible, they need, you know, people can't actually bring parts of the craft and say, well, look, this was last night's little effort, you know, when I was on the craft or whatever. What we've discovered with the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Free Foundation, where I was a co-founder, when we did the survey of 4,200 people globally, one of the 600 questions was about the experiences. And what we discovered was 75% of experiences on board craft were out of body, and only 25% were actually physical. So that makes it even harder for the nuts and bolts, as I call them, to say, oh, well, you know, you definitely had an experience. So the hardest thing for people when they have these things that are profound, change their lives forever, changes their philosophy, changes the way they look at the world. And nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants are too afraid to hear it. It makes them uncomfortable. And so they're left alone and dealing with a profound experience that's often lifelong. And in many cases, it is lifelong, where they've got no one where they can say, this is what happened last night, you know, and this is what I experienced or whatever. And the isolation of that is one of the biggest. And, you know, sometimes they can't even tell their wife or husband or, you know, or partner, because the partner doesn't know what to do with it or is uncomfortable with it.
Right.
And I've met many, you know, couples where the one of them is an experiencer and the other partner is really very, very uncomfortable. So it's very, very isolating if you've got nobody to share sometimes extraordinary experiences that you remember of being on the craft.
And that's exactly why things like CERN is so important. So if I was an experiencer or somebody out there is listening right now and they're having these issues, and how would they go about, you know, contacting a CERN and getting the help that they need, whether it be counseling, support, hypnotherapy, or just information in general?
Well, I'm very easy to contact. I've got a couple of websites, cern.com.au and, of course, maryroddle.com. That I'm on Facebook and Messenger. I'm also on Telegram. So there's many different ways that, you know, people can contact me. What I do suggest they do when they first contact me, because many people don't realize how many things are connected to having that experience. You know, there are lots of things that they experience that they think is just them. You know, in terms of, for example, if someone's got a fear of clowns, or Santa Claus, or owls with big eyes, often that's a screen memory for having a contact experience, for example. People don't know that. Then there's other feelings of always feeling different, never feeling that you belong, feeling you come with some kind of mission or purpose. And that they all sound very airy-fairy, but in fact, they're all connected to this experience of, you know, being on connected to these star nations that are visiting us. And so I send out a questionnaire, and it helps people to start to connect the dots and then work out, you know, they may have missing time, for example, an incident when they were 5, 6, 10, or 20, where they find that, you know, they've seen some bright lights and then no memory of anything and finding themselves in a different place and often very feeling very weird or very strange. And one of the things I will ask them is, do you, after that missing time, did you feel different or did you find that things changed for you? And often in many cases they say, yes, I got very, very interested in astronomy, or I got very interested in quantum physics and I don't know why, or I, you know, and I start to get this information in my head that I don't know why it's there because I never consciously learned it, but it's just there. And they get these downloads of information and understanding, or they may find themselves coming out with writing strange scripts or doing strange artwork, or, you know, and some you know, these strange languages we call light languages or star languages or whatever, and finding their whole philosophy about life has changed. Like, they no longer are interested in materialistic values. They may find that they become very concerned about ecology and the planet. They may find that they want to, even their diet may change. And when people say to me, you know, how do you know that they've had experiences and what have you, there's your evidence right there. These things happen after these kinds of experiences that change them forever. And that doesn't happen in unless something very real has happened to them.
So with the hypnotherapy, is that something that you would refer to just anybody, or is it certain people? Because I know I've heard some things about it being that, you know, some people shouldn't go and take the hypnotherapy. It might confuse the experience or things like that. What is your opinion on that?
Well, Jesse, I'd like to say, as I've worked with hundreds now of people, possibly thousands, I haven't added them all up, I find hypnosis a very useful tool. And the reason it's useful is it actually casts light on what really actually happens.
Right.
And a lot of people are fear of the possibility something awful has happened simply because they can't remember. And because they're fearful, they will often imagine the worst possible scenario, when in fact, if you take somebody in hypnosis to their subconscious recording of what's gone on, often it helps them literally connect the dots to their own experience. And what we have to understand, and this is the trouble with, you know, a lot of the way that this whole subject has been treated as a fear-based abduction scenario, for many people, it's not an abduction. It's actually a contact. And when they go on board craft, and what is very useful is they can see exactly what's happened and understand it. And also they can ask questions in that space of these beings to get answers, and why have they been taken? For example, you know, when they're up on board craft and they finally see, they may see different beings, they may see little greys, eaters, they may see mantis beings, they may see humanoid type beings, a whole range of different kinds, feline type beings. And they can, in that space, they can actually communicate questions. And they can say, well, why have you taken me this time? And they will get the information. This is a medical exam, or we're just checking on you. And then you can get them to ask how many times have they been picked up, so they can get a whole range of information where they think something terrible has happened. Our survey of 4,200 people, 50% of them had healing procedures on board craft. That's half that number had positive healing experiences. The trouble is that people immediately think it's got to be negative because it's got still a very negative connotation. And as one gentleman, I'll explain very briefly, one of the fear-based ones was a gentleman who had said to me, look, I'm okay about the stuff that happens on the craft, he said, but where I get absolutely paranoid, he said, and scared, is when I experience this eye, this big black eye coming towards me, he said, and I'm terrified of it. And I don't know why. I don't know, something really terrible is happening. So I said, well, shall we find out what actually happened? And he was very courageous. And he said, yes, I need to know. I just need to know. So I took this gentleman into an altered state. And I said, so tell me when the eye is coming towards you. Because I did ask him what he thought happened. And he said, I think, you know, I feel like they're taking me over. And that was the fear that he had. So when we did this, and I took him right up to the point where he's seeing this eye coming closer and closer to him. And I said, so what's happening now? What's happening now? He said, well, it's getting closer. It's getting closer. He's getting very, very panicky. And then all of a sudden, he completely relaxed. And I said, so what's happened then? You know, what happened to you? And he said, oh, he said, they're just giving me information. So everything he'd been scared about was that they were going to take him over, was nothing of the kind. Once he went into it, he found out that it was completely different, and it was just a download of information that he was getting. So often you can get rid of huge fears through hypnosis. But what I will add to that is you need to have the right person, you know, someone, a hypnotherapist, you know, that you just come across that says they'll do this. If they're not familiar with the whole phenomena, then they are going to be out of their depth, and they're not going to know what to ask and to help somebody work that through. If you take somebody going on to board craft and they're seeing beings doing procedures and what have you, without any understanding, they're going to be terrified. You have to take it to the next level for them to understand why And the only way you can do that is it's certain questions that you need to ask when they're in that space so they can get the understanding. If you've got a hypnotherapist that doesn't know that and just says, oh, so you're seeing them doing this to you and that to you and whatever, all you're going to do is re-traumatize them.
Right,
so it's very important that they pick someone who is au fait and has done plenty of work in terms of understanding what is actually going on. Because if they don't understand, they will not ask the right questions to help that person connect the dots. And ultimately, what I found when they do that, when they realize they can ask questions in that space and get understanding, it changes. They can change 180 degrees from being in fear to at last understanding. And that for me, and I mean, they can be scared sometimes if they're seeing themselves on a, you know, on a table wondering what's going on. And sometimes you can take them out of the, you know, and let them see it almost like a video so they can watch without being feeling they're actually in that the vulnerable space and actually watch what's actually going on. They can actually do that as well in hypnosis. So there's lots of techniques you can do to help them get the understanding without re-traumatizing them. And that I can't state enough.
Yeah, that's great. And I mean, most of it seems like it comes down to the fear of the unknown. It's what we don't know is what we fear. So that's exactly the bottom line when it comes to this. And when we learn about it and we see it, we actually improve in what we're looking to find.
The subconscious is amazing in the sense that it records everything without editing. So you get the full picture. And that was why Dr. John Mack did such a good job in promoting hypnosis, because he knew that. And he knew that this was helping people connect the dots. You know, I've had people that have had experiences when they were 5, 10 years old, and they might be 60 or 65 or 70, and saying, I've got to find out now. I've got to know. I've got to understand this mystery in my life. And it's amazing how much that can then settle so many questions that they've had all their lives. And to me, it's an amazing tool, as long as you know what you're doing.
Awesome. I'm glad we were able to touch on that, because there's been a lot of back and forth on the hypnotherapy thing within social media lately, and people saying it's good and some saying it's bad. So I'm happy we were able to clear that up and understand that the outcome is for a positive benefit in your life, being a contactee or an experiencer. So that was great. I want to go ahead and take our break, and when we come back, we can start hitting some of the other stuff that you've been doing, some really cool stuff I want to talk about. So we're going to take our break, and we'll be back right after these commercial messages. Hello, everybody. This is your host, Jesse P. Happy to announce, coming up this year in 2024, on May 4th, is the Curiosities Festival, which will include speakers in the field of ufology, the paranormal, and Bigfoot. We'll also be having live performances throughout the day, live bands, food, activities, and more. Tickets will only be $5 a person, and it'll be from 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. at night. Again, this is for the 2024 Curiosities Festival. Get this information over at our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
UFO Encounters Worldwide wants to hear from you. Have an experience or a sighting you want to share? Contact your host, Jesse Peake, at ufoencountersworldwide@gmail.com today.
This is your host, Jesse Peake. Check out our official website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. Read up on UFO articles, including abductions, close encounters, sighting cases, megalithic structures, and more. Also, check out our new Facebook group. You'll get updates on guests every week, new events coming up, and our schedule of who we're going to have on in the future. Again, that's UFO Encounters Worldwide Facebook group, and our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com.
Have you always been curious about the unknown, the unexplainable, Do you find yourself intrigued by the mysterious and paranormal side of our world? Then let's find out, with co-host Diego, is the podcast for you. Join in on an adventure into the world of the inexplicable and get insights from experienced researchers, investigators, and experts. Listen to mind-bending discussions and fascinating stories as Let's Find Out explores the strange, mysterious, and paranormal. Let's Find Out with co-host Diego is a unique and engaging podcast that uncovers the mysteries of the cryptic and unknown. With insightful interviews and discussions, they discover the very latest theories, discoveries, and investigations that may someday give us the final answer as to what may be behind the veil of reality. Available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, YouTube, iHeartRadio, Radio Public, TuneIn, and Rumble.
UFO Encounters Worldwide would like to announce our brand new home at the UNX Network. Listen to us every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear UFO Encounters Worldwide podcast. That's on the UNX Network. All right, welcome back to the second half of episode 120. We are sitting down with special guest Mary Rodwell. So I also was reading your bio, and I seen that you have supported the Free Foundation, which is the Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. Dr. Edgar Mitchell had started this foundation. Could you tell us a little bit about that and what all that entails?
Well, it's a really important research institute in the sense it's the first time there was a serious survey of the experience itself. And what was important about it was that what we were doing was 600 questions on the experience, how people understood it, what it meant in terms of their lives. The whole range of questions were very exhaustive. It was started with Dr. Rudy Shield, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, myself, and Ray Hernandez. Ray had experiences where he was faced with an energy being in his lounge room with his wife over his dog who was sick. The next thing is the dog's well, and he can't believe what he's just seen because he was an atheist. He didn't believe in anything at all.
Wow.
And what that literally changed his life. And he got this message, if you like, that you've got to create this organization, that there's got to be an organization with serious research. The trouble is, you see, Jesse, many of the organizations, they've done maybe surveys of 50, 60, maybe 100 or whatever. We were able to do a survey with 4,200 people. Wow. With serious in-depth questions, which were very, that had all the information through those questions that gave us a really good sense of what's going on. One of the most important things with this survey that we didn't know, and this is, you know, what people don't understand, is a lot depends on the kinds of questions you ask. And one of them was a fascinating result of encounters. And what we discovered is that out of that 4,200, 85% had a psycho-spiritual transformation. And I'll say that again, a psycho-spiritual transformation happened after their encounters. Only 15% remained in trauma. And I think that's really profound because so much is said about the scary stuff and the fear-based stuff and what have you. What we found is many, after being fearful, some of them to start with, as they got to know and understand what was going on and the changes that it made in their lives, completely changed their understanding and the fear that they had was often about the unknown. And the questions, we found 50% of those that had experiences had healing on board craft. For example, this is another one that people don't realize. I mean, Preston Dennett's written many books about UFO healings and
yes.
What have you.
Yep.
I've had enormous number that have had healings on board craft. I've also had people that should have died in accidents that were saved by these intelligences. They said that it was like some unseen hands came and protected me. I should have been dead or whatever. a whole range of extraordinary experiences. This is not put out there at all. And what this survey, and you can actually see all this information, all the surveys in Beyond UFOs, which is a quite a tomb, as it were. And it really is taking this into a whole level of human consciousness, as you know, and that we're talking about consciousness here. We're talking about multidimensional experiences. And this is all part of our consciousness, which is primary. So we're taking it into a whole new level that isn't just 3D reality, which has been in many ways the only way that this has been explored. We know that there is a great deal more that's connected to this. And what is connected to this, many people who have near-death experiences end up seeing beings and UFOs and what have you. Astral traveling is another one. Shamanic experiences, they may start to see beings and what have you. So you've got a whole range of other experiences where somebody may be just intuitive or doing healing and opening up to their multidimensional awareness and start to see beings. I've had healers that have talked about doing energy work and suddenly they'll see a strange being in the room with them that doesn't look human or whatever. So what we're talking about is it's all connected. All these different ways we enter a state of expanded awareness connect us to many of these intelligences. And what I will say, what we've discovered is they're not all physical. Some of them are interdimensional, extra-dimensional, transdimensional, and some even from our future. And that's the ones, you know, that I've come to understand. So we're talking about a whole range of different beings and intelligences in different forms, from, you know, humanoids to light beings, which are just pure energy, for example, and the interdimensional ones. So it's a lot more complex than people realize, but it's something that many tap into once they open up themselves. And it may be through spiritual experiences, as I say, it may be through a healing experience, it may be because they've had an out-of-body experience or a near-death experience. Any of those will ultimately connect them to the greater reality, where they may see light beings or angelic beings or a whole range of other types of intelligences in different forms.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. And I think it's good that you touched on that, because I think people only think it's one thing. And there's many other aspects of this. Now, do you think that, you know, because we're finding out that it's interdimensional, it's physical, it's not physical, that these other ways of thinking know of each other as well? Like, for example, the physicals know of the interdimensionals. Are they aware of each other? It's just us that we're learning about them now.
Oh, I think that we're the ones that are finally realizing it's all connected. And it's interesting because you'll get, you know, the metaphysical fraternity or the New Age or whatever. Many groups will be fine with angels and fairies and, you know, religious figures and what have you. But as soon as you mention, you know, a mantis being or a 4-foot guy that's gray with four yep. digits or whatever, then all of a sudden it's not okay because that's not spiritual. Well, in fact, I hate to say this to them, but actually, yes, it is, because it's all part of our multidimensional reality. And what also is, and I don't know what your audience are going to think of this, but many of those that come to me will discover through their delving into this, that they have often been many of these intelligences that they are interacting with. In other words, they've seen a connection with their soul self to some other another type of star being, such as, you know, they'll realize that there's a connection to the Pleiades or to Andromeda or whatever. So we're really talking in terms of a metaphysical way of understanding this, is that it's a soul journey of experience. And many of us have been these intelligences. And one of them was a 7-year-old I'll talk to, who explained to me that he's from our future. He's a gray being from our future. And he's come and incarnated in this present our time because he's got a job to do. And he has told me that he interacted with various types of intelligences. And he said, and some of these intelligences have an IQ of over 400. Wow. He was explaining to me lots of very profound understandings of our reality. And these are the children I'm talking about here, you know, the ones that you don't, you know, that come out with this information and you think, well, where, how did they know this? Because, of course, they're the new ones, the new generations that I write about in The New Human, where they're coming in awake with their awareness of who they are. And one of them was an eight-year-old telling me that she was a hybrid and a hybrid water being human. And she came from a water planet and that she's part water being, part human. And when she looks in the mirror, she sees her hybrid self, which is the water being. And she said, and I have the ability, she said, not only to hear music, but to go along the frequency of that music to the person who's created the music and to feel all their emotions and everything that's going on with them, as well as hearing the music itself. So the origin of the music. This is an eight-year-old explaining her hybrid nature.
That's incredible. That's absolutely, it's mind-boggling, you know, to think about that, that they're able to know that, have that information, you know? It's just, it's intelligent. So I guess this is a good time to touch on the genetic engineering part of what you've talked about in your research. Children, you know, having this connection as well physically and also, like, you know, from a young age. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, it has been more and more of my focus because of parents that have had experiences. And we know it's intergenerational. So it comes down family lines. So, you know, in other words, if someone is having experience, it's quite likely the siblings or either the mother or the father or the grandparents have had experiences. But what was interesting was the children that are coming out now with their experiences. And what I was noticing was many of them were given labels such as ADHD, Asperger's, dyslexic, some forms of autism. And now I think bipolar may be also involved in this. And I was wondering, well, why are they getting these labels? What is it that makes, you know, gives them this label? And I realized that more and more, it's a new type of human that operates differently. And because of that, we think they're dysfunctional. For example, ADHD, a wonderful researcher in Hong Kong, Neil Gold, wrote a book, Close Encounters of the ADHD Kind. And he was having interactions with the light beings. And he told me that he's always seen reality in a more complex way than the average. And he relabeled ADHD into always dialed into higher dimensions because they are operating on a higher frequency and a different frequency. And I believe these intelligences have realized that part of the problem with humans is we're programmed into a 3D limited and limiting reality. And to stop that happening, they've created a new kind of more awake human that can't be programmed as easily, so can stay awake to their multidimensional awareness and experiences. And they've all got unique talents, every single one of them, that, you know, in terms of their awareness. And that in itself, I think, is an indicator that we are being assisted to operate in a more multidimensional way and to stop the old programming that no longer serves us as we are being activated. And our dormant DNA is being activated to so we can reach a more expanded awareness of our reality.
So would this also be considered possibly like ESP, extrasensory perception?
We all have it, Jesse. We all have those abilities, but we're programmed out of them. We're told they're not real. Your intuition, your sensing, feeling, oh, that's just rubbish. You know, what are you? The only thing you can trust is your five senses, which is absolute nonsense, because we're all able to tap into our multidimensional awareness and what have you. And what these children are is already activated and operating that way. It gets shut down if they're in an environment through their religion or their culture or their parents' programming to say, well, that's not real. You can't be seeing that when they talk about their special friend that takes them up on board craft, for example. Oh, that's not real. That's just your imaginary friend. So it gets shut down. But we all have these abilities, you know, and they are normal to us as a species. The trouble is, as I say, we're programmed out of them to believe that they're not credible and they're not accurate, when in fact our intuition is 100% accurate if we listen to it. And the sensing and knowing, and people see spirits quite naturally. Many people have done, but are told it's not real. You know, stop making things up, stop being imaginative. And that's how we shut people down. But we all have those abilities and that awareness.
Yeah, it's incredible to think about. And, you know, we look at our brain and how we only use a small percentage of our brain. And could that be a possibility of it always being there, that we have it, we just don't know how to use it properly yet?
Well, in some cultures, for sure, they still honor that side of things. But there is the interesting thing that we only use about 5% of our DNA. The rest is considered junk DNA. What the understanding is that that's being activated. So more of who we are and our abilities are surfacing. And people are noticing that as they wake up to their experiences, they also wake up to new awareness. They'll start to feel energies. They'll start to see the beings. They'll start to have communication and downloads. That's that DNA that's being dormant, that's being activated. And this is what the new children and the new human I talk about, is they're already, you know, being born with this activated DNA. And they're already seeing the multidimensional universe and the beings and having a connection to them.
That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. So do you want to talk about your books? You have two books, The Awakening, How Extraterrestrial Contact Can Transform Your Life, which was in 2002. And then you have The New Human, Awakening to Our Cosmic Heritage, which I guess would be more up to what we're talking about now. Could you talk about those a little bit and what people can expect when they go to read them?
Well, Awakening, I wrote because there was so little resources and help for people having experiences and they not knowing where to go and being scared, not knowing if it was real, what to do about the fear, what to do if the children are having experiences, how, you know, what's happening to you and you're, you know, waking up and becoming more psychic and whatever, and all this. So it really is a resource book, but it's also important in the sense that it helps people connect the dots to their own experiences and how they can help themselves, so they don't have to rely, if there's no one around to help them, they can actually help themselves. So that was the purpose of writing that book. Okay. The New Human is taking it to another level where it's the whole family. What do the children say about their experiences? How do they understand, you know, their connection to these beings? What kind of abilities they have, which are extraordinary, and also how the parents are supporting them in terms of what do you do if someone is ADHD and you don't want to medicate them. Well, I've worked with Dr. Lena Olson, a molecular biologist who has looked into all of this, and she gives solutions like the ADHD to balance out and operate more in a balanced way. There are certain vitamins and certain minerals and certain diet that will allow them to do that without, you know, medicating them, for example. New understanding of autism, new understanding of dyslexia. So I'm looking at solutions in the book, but I'm also writing about some of the extraordinary new humans that are older and their experiences and how they operate multidimensionally and psychically. And also there's a medical doctor and her story of being activated and now actually working with the DNA. And she's a medical doctor in Melbourne here, for example. And also, how does that affect your belief system in terms of what is religion, is your religion helping you to understand your own experiences, or is it shutting you down because it's giving you an interpretation that's negative or fear-based? So I've covered a lot of ground in that, but I'm looking at particularly at solutions to help people understand these new generations of human that are being born and how to understand them and help them and support them.
Now you had spoken about DNA. Do you think that the Rh negative bloodline is a part of that? Because that's a big talking point in the field as well.
Oh, I think it definitely indicates, you know, ET origins when you've got the negative blood group and what have you. And there's a high percentage of those that do have that particular blood group. And some of them will say, you know, I know I'm a hybrid. There are many people now connecting to that. Understanding that, and what do we mean by hybrids? Well, we're actually all hybrids as such, because I believe we've been intelligently designed right from the beginning, when we went from Neanderthal, Cro-Magnon, to actually Homo sapiens sapiens with that great leap, and that missing, you know, that was part of the missing link, if you like. But these ones that are now saying they're hybrids, usually it means that they've had more of their DNA activated and part of extraterrestrial DNA has been added apart from their parents, so that they may say, I feel I'm, you know, connected to Pleiades, or I'm connected to Orion or Sirius or some other star system. So they really feel very that's their origin, that's their star origin. So there's a, it's quite interesting now how that's changed from, you know, I'm somebody taken against my will, or to actually I'm part of them. There's a whole different way of looking at it that's coming out now, which has changed the whole way that we look at, you know, our heritage and who we are.
So a lot of the time it does come down to that it's more of a positive thing in someone's life rather than a negative. It's just because of the unknown, what we don't know of and what we're scared of and what we're told that's not real. And when we come to see that kind of thing, we get right away, get frightened. But deep down inside, if we, you know, we're open to it and actually ask the right questions, we'll be able to find that this is a positive in our life and something that can help us along through our life. Kurt, is that, am I right about that?
Primarily, what I'm seeing is that most of these interactions have been ultimately a consensual positive thing. We do feel that there is possibly some intelligences that might have their own self-serving agenda. I don't know enough to say one way or another, but the 15% that were in fear, many of them are from what I call the My Lab, which is human orchestrated abductions. And that's a whole new ball game.
Yeah,
and that is what colors the phenomena.
Yeah, that's a definitely a big thing right now. And I think that, it taints the field in an aspect, in a way. So your books, you can still get them on Amazon, correct? If people wanted to reach out and get those?
Yes, absolutely. If they're in Australia or New Zealand, they can contact me and I can sign a book and send it out to them.
Okay. And if anybody does want to get a hold of you, can they just go through the ASCERN website, or is there other contact information you want to give out?
Yes, they can go through the website or message me on Facebook. I say I'm also on Telegram as well.
Okay. So we are at the end. I did put the link to the episode in the episode description. So anybody listening, you guys can get that and go check it out. And I'll also get your books and put the links in there as well for those. I want to thank you for coming on today and talking about this and having this conversation. It's an important conversation, one that definitely needed to be had, I think. And a lot of the listeners of the show are contactees and experiencers. So I think this will be taken very, very well and have people look at this in a new light, because you definitely look at it from a different perspective than many other researchers. So thank you for coming on today, Mary, and sharing all this with us.
Jesse, it's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm always happy to come on again if you have any more questions that you'd like to ask.
We'll definitely have more questions, and we'll invite you on again in the future. Absolutely. It was a good conversation today, so I appreciate it. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to episode 120 with our special guest, Mary Rodwell. We'll be back next week with our special guest, Debbie Ziegelmeyer, MUFON State Director of Missouri. And also, if you guys are interested in the 2024 Curiosities Festival, you can get your tickets and information over at our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. And we'll see you guys all next week. So until next time, remember to keep your eyes in the sky. Well, I want to thank Mary Rodwell for coming on today and sharing that great information and the work that she's doing with ASCERN, the Australian Close Encounter Resource Network. I think she's doing some amazing work helping people with counseling, support, hypnotherapy, and just basic information in general. People need to know where they can go to get information when they're involved in this field, or whether they're a contactee or an experiencer. So it's amazing that she's doing all that work. I want to thank her again for coming on and sharing all that with us. Next week, we're going to have special guest State Director of MUFON, Debbie Ziegelmeyer. She's done some amazing work within MUFON, doing USOs, unidentified submerged objects. She is the leader of the MUFON dive team. So anytime we have an underwater case, she is the one we call to go out there and collect evidence and take her team to go under the water. Some really interesting things. She's done some amazing work writing books about this. So we'll be talking about all of that. Something we don't hear too much about. We usually hear about unidentified flying objects a lot, but the submersible objects is a different story. So that'll be a great episode. Don't forget, if you guys are interested in conferences coming up this year, the Curiosities 2024 Festival is this year. We're going to be having speakers in the field of ufology, paranormal, and hopefully Bigfoot as well. We're going to have live performances, live bands. There's going to be tons of vendors there. It's going to be a great day. Tickets are only $5 a person to get in for the entire day. You cannot beat it. It is going to be a day full of fun. So if you are interested in that, go over to our website. You can get your tickets over there, the ticket link, and all the information of what's going on for that day. Our website is ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. And if you haven't already, go and join our Facebook group. That's where we post our upcoming guests. We do giveaways over there. You can just search UFO Encounters Worldwide Facebook group and join. We'll be happy to have you over there. So I hope everybody enjoyed this week's episode, episode 120. We'll be back next week with our special guest, Debbie Ziegelmeyer. And until next time, remember to keep your eyes in the sky.